بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين صدق الله العظيم Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders and friends, among the golden principles and profound advices of the Quran is the constant invitation to peace and reconciliation, regardless of who the quarreling parties are. This is a general principle, advice and declaration of the Quran. If the nature of the argument is marital related, husband and wife, like I often say, in a marriage, arguments are like turbulence in a flight. No flight is safe from turbulence. Regardless of the advancement of aviation, at any time the flight can go into turbulence. The rules of turbulence change compared to the rules when the flight is gliding at a smooth altitude. What does the Quran say? فَبَعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. If you see there's some bickering, there's some discord, there's some altercation, then nominate and appoint and delegate an arbitrator on either side. إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا. If the intention is to reconcile, then through the medium of arbitration, Allah guarantees that He will unite the hearts. And more specifically, if a woman fears that perhaps her husband is turning away, وَإِنْ إِمْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا أَوْ إِعْرَابًا. If a woman fears rebellion or aversion from her husband, then her first point of engagement should be sit down, level-headed, and try and navigate the way forward. وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. The Quran says, peace and reconciliation is always the best option. If perchance there is argument between two factions of the Muslim Ummah, two sister organizations, two bodies, وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا, then it is a responsibility on the general Muslim Ummah to come to their rescue and try and unite between the factions that have division among them. So there's a beautiful incident to elucidate and expound on this, the 6th year of Hijrah or the 5th year, according to the difference of opinion. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard that Harith bin Dirar, the leader of the Banu al-Mustaliq tribe, was mobilizing his forces against the Muslims. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made counter preparations and he prepared the Sahaba. They rallied around him and they marched in this year. They came to a place called Muraysi', which was the name of a well, and hence this campaign is also known as Ghazwatul Muraysi'. By way of reference, Badr, the plains of Badr, the battle of Badr. Badr is actually linguistically, if you study the, you know, we seldom go into the linguistics of a word and appreciate it. Quraysh, the tribe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by origin, Quraysh is a dominant species of fish in the ocean. That is the actual meaning of Quraysh. And this was in reference to the noble tribe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Badr also is the name of a well. Badr is actually the name of a well. And this location was then identified by the name of a well. Here again, the Muslim and the non-Muslim army meet at this water. And there is a crossfire, intense crossfire. And Allah gives victory to the Muslims. And it ends on a positive note. Just when the Muslims are about to return, here there's a snag, there's a setback, there's a hurdle, there's an unpleasant occurrence. There is an argument that breaks out between two prominent, devout, great Sahaba. One was a Muhajir and one was a Ansari. The Muhajir was Jahjah radiallahu anhu, while the Ansari was Sinan bin Wabira radiallahu anhu. So when the Muhajir and the Ansari had an argument, and this is something we need to realize, that we are humans, we are social creatures, we live together, but it is bound for us to have differences. But when we look at our history and we look at our glory days, diversity of opinion never equated division of hearts. The Sahaba were diverse in their opinions, and that's healthy and that's necessary. We have different opinions, but it doesn't equate, it should not be tantamount, it should not be elevated to the point of division of hearts, because that is what will fragment the Ummah, and that is what will result in the bickering of the Ummah. May Allah protect us. So the Muhajir called out to fellow migrants and he said, Ya lal Muhajireen, oh my migrant brothers, come to my assistance. And the Ansar said, Ya lal Ansar, oh my Ansar brothers, come to my rescue. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this and he said, Ma balu da'wal jahiliya, am I hearing the slogans of ignorance post-Islam? Da'uha fa innaha muntina. Put an end to this. It gives off a stench. It gives off a foul smell. These are not the slogans that will unite the Ummah. These are not the building blocks with which we will move forward as a nation. Amitul Batil bitarki dhikrihi. Sayyidina Umar said, put an end to unpleasantness by terminating its discussion. Don't perpetuate the topic by giving it more discussion and more momentum. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, he diffused it. Now look at the beauty of a community. Look at the fabric of that society. There was a Sahabi by the name of Ubadah radiallahu anhu. He analyzed the situation, and in the context of this particular situation, the Ansari Sahabi was a victim and he was somewhat hurt. Obviously, the Muhajir Sahabi had not done it deliberately or maliciously, inadvertently. Sometimes we slip up, we don't mean to cause people harm, but we don't realize the gravity of our utterances. And it pierces the heart. The Arabic proverb is that the wound of an arrow can recover, but the wound of the tongue never recovers. When you hurl something nasty, when you blurt something unpleasant, that wound sometimes leaves an indelible impression. May Allah protect us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna al-'abda la yatakallamu bil kalimati min saqatillah, la yara biha ba'sa." Sometimes casually you make a remark and you earn the displeasure of Allah, and then you justify it and you say, "I don't think it's wrong. I think it's fine. Somebody had to tell him." يَذِلُّ بِهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ أَبْعَدَ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. But the consequences of that utterance is so catastrophic that it would result in that person dropped into the depths of hell, the distance which is greater than the east and the west. May Allah protect us. So Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu came to his Ansari brother and he said, you have been somewhat violated, you have been somewhat hurt. I'm asking you, forgive your brother. Let's not take this advance. Let's not take it to another level. He said, I appreciate your comments. Now this was the beauty of Sahaba. If somebody comes and tells me something when I'm in an argument and I'm like, back off brother, you don't know what I'm doing. It's easy for you to say, be in my shoes and appreciate my predicament. But Sahaba were those that took it in the spirit. They took it in the spirit. The situation was diffused and they moved on. Furthermore, the Quran says that look at peace. Even if the proposal comes from your foe and your enemy. Today so much is being said negatively about Islam. There is this stereotyping, there is this branding, there is this indoctrination, there is this negativity that's been perpetuated on every form of media that Muslims are hostile, Muslims are unpleasant. Yet the Quran unequivocally, categorically, explicitly, emphatically says, وَإِن جَنَحُوا لِلسَّلْمِ فَاجْنَحْ لَهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if the disbelievers come with a proposal of peace, then surrender, then submit, then incline. Now, look at the beauty of the Quran. And it is sad that we haven't connected with the Quran. We haven't linked with the Quran, nor with the message of the Quran. If perchance you are apprehensive in embracing the proposal of peace from your enemy, because you fear perhaps it's motivated by a sinister agenda. There's something behind the scenes. They call in for peace, but it might be a niche for infiltration. They have something beyond. The Quran says, if somebody comes with peace, accept it. وَإِن يُرِيدُوا أَن يَخْدَعُوكَ فَإِنَّ حَسْبَكَ اللَّهُ. As if they have an obnoxious intention, unpleasant intention, and that is to deceive you, then Allah is sufficient for you. In essence, the point I want to drive, the Muslim Ummah has not suffered globally at the hands of its enemies as much as it has suffered as a result of internal bickering and division and differences. Do you know, brothers, one of the greatest offenses in Islam is to speak a lie. To utter a lie is a serious offense. It's a grave crime. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reclining in the hadith of Bukhari, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَكْبَرِ الْكَبَائِرِ. Should I not tell you of the worst of crimes? We said, tell us. He said, الْإِشْرَاكُ بِاللَّهِ, to ascribe partners with Allah, وَعُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, and to be disobedient to your parents. وَكَانَ مُتَّكِئًا, and he was reclining, فَجَلَسْ, he sat up. And then he said, to impress the importance of what is to follow. So he was reclining, when he commenced the narration, he then sat up to impress by his body gesture, by his position, أَلَا وَشَهَادَةَ الزُّورِ, أَلَا وَقَوْلَ الزُّورِ, أَلَا وَشَهَادَةَ الزُّورِ, أَلَا وَقَوْلَ الزُّورِ, أَلَا وَشَهَادَةَ الزُّورِ, أَلَا وَقَوْلَ الزُّورِ. To give false testimony, to speak a lie, to give false testimony, to speak a lie, to give false testimony, to speak a lie. He repeated himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so many times, حَتَّى قُلْنَا لَيْتَهُ سَكَتْ. For a moment we thought, O Prophet of Allah, we've heard you repeating yourself too much, but we never said that. Sahaba loved him to do anything and everything. But can you imagine if a Sahabi felt that, I got the message, now, pause, and put your thinking cap on. And this is where I ask you to introspect. The grave offense of speaking a lie has momentarily been made permissible in Islam. Nay, it constitutes an act of reward. If two brothers are quarreling, and I went to Brother Muhammad and I said, Brother Ibrahim has been lauding you in your absence. He's been speaking great things about you. The Arabic poet said, وَذِي حَسَدٍ يَغْتَابُنِي حَيْثُ لَا يَرَى مَكَانِي وَيُثْنِي صَالِحًا حَيْثُ أَسْمَعُ تَوَرَّعْتُ أَنْ أَغْتَابَهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِ وَمَا هُوَ إِذْ يَغْتَابُنِي مُتَوَرِّعُونَ. The sign of a jealous man is, he will flatter you in your presence and stab you in your absence. So when he's in front of you, oh, you're an amazing man, this whole place is running because of you. You know what, you're the maker, the shaker, the mover, the driver, without you everything will collapse. And behind his back he's got an attitude, he thinks great about himself, he's inflated, he's conceited, he's got a chip on his shoulder. These are the kind of remarks you will throw out. But now you go to Brother Muhammad and you say, Brother Ibrahim has been extolling your praises. And you go to Ibrahim and you say, Muhammad has been lauding you. Now when either of them meet, there's a sense of guilt. Oh, this man's been talking so good about me. I think I'm just going to take the bold step and greet him. And he goes forward and he says, Assalamu alaikum. You have fabricated a lie. You have made up a story. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَيْسَ الْكَذَّابُ أَلَّذِي يُصْلِحُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. This act of lie to facilitate unity is not a crime, it's an act of rewards. Can we imagine the virtue? Now, the ayat al-kareema that I recited before you is a verse of the nine juz. Subhanallah, reflect over the beauty of the Quran. What does Allah say? خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adopt forgiveness, adopt gentleness. There are two explorations of this ayah, and both are amazing in our daily interaction. A, if you are in the position of authority, if Allah has made you a custodian, a guardian, a leader, a responsible figure, then afwa has one meaning, take from your subjects, from those under you, minimum. Don't impose people on optimum. Subject yourself to the highest. Put yourself to stringent measures. But from your children, from your subjects, from your employees, take minimum and move on, move on. After all, how much are you giving to Allah? How much are you giving? Are you giving the best? Are you giving the greatest? Are you giving optimum? Are you throwing your best? No, you're not. So take minimum from people and leave it. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ. And then don't shun the person who hurts you. Give him a kind word. Say a good message to him. Inspire him. Motivate him. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. And shun the ignorant. Ibn Kathir says, shun the ignorant doesn't mean ignore his guidance. Mean don't allow the nature to take revenge to grow within you. Don't let that breed within you. Because when I'm planning and orchestrating revenge, I am venting negative energy.
SLHub.com.
If you're sitting down and you are writing, or you want to retort, or you want to reply a harsh SMS, your mind is running, adrenaline in your body. This is negative energy going in you. You can just imagine your entire body goes into spasm. You become tight, you become claustrophobic, you become constipated, you become restricted. Why? Because you're throwing out negative energy. The hadith of Bukhari, Hur ibn Qais was one of the close associates of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He was staying in Medina. His uncle Uyayna ibn Hisn was visiting Medina. So the uncle said to the nephew, Uyayna ibn Hisn said to his nephew Hur ibn Qais, do me a favor, you're a very close disciple of Umar. Can you facilitate a meeting with Umar, the great Umar, the giant Umar? I would like to meet with him. So I said, it's my uncle and it's Umar. I let the protocol go ahead. I spoke to Umar radiallahu anhu. I said, can you allow for my uncle to meet you, please? He's visiting. My uncle, Umar radiallahu anhu, obliged and he acceded to the request. I ushered my uncle, Hur ibn Qais is saying, I ushered my uncle Uyayna ibn Hisn into the court of Umar radiallahu anhu. Lo and behold, as I ushered him in, my uncle on the other hand left me ashamed and embarrassed. He didn't follow protocol, he wasn't cordial, he wasn't courteous, he was harsh, he was hostile, he was unpleasant. And I realized that now this is very embarrassing for me. He said, وَاللَّهِ مَا تُعْتِينَ الْعَدْلِ وَاللَّهِ مَا تُعْتِينَ الْجَدْلِ وَلَا تَحْكُمْ بَيْنَنَا بِالْعَدْلِ. Umar, you have an attitude, you lack justice, there's no fairness in your dealings. And I looked at this and I said, oh my word, what do I do? How do I have? I got to do damage control. I got to do damage control. So I intervened. And how did I intervene? I intervened through this ayah. And this was the beauty of Sahaba. I looked at Umar and I realized he was being provoked. I seen rage, I seen anger. I said, Umar, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ, forgive, وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, advocate virtue. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ وَأَعْرِضْ. Somebody came and slandered Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He responded by saying, if I am as you say, may Allah forgive me. And if I am not as you accuse me, may Allah forgive you. If I am as you accuse me, may Allah forgive me. And if I am not like that, may Allah forgive you. He said, وَكَانَ وَقَّاصًا عِنْدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. This was the beauty of Sahaba. Instantly I seen Umar containing himself, restraining himself, calming himself. Now look at the beauty of the Quran. Ibn Kathir, the great giant in the field of tafsir, he says, if you look at the entire Quran, there are three verses which is a summarized version, a synopsis of sublime character. Three verses in the Quran. One is the verse I mentioned to you now. The second is the verse of the 18 juz, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ السَّيِّئَةِ. Resist evil in a noble way. Respond to provocation in a dignified way. Somebody came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, may you die, may death come upon you, may you suffer. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wa alayk, and the same to you. So Aisha radiallahu anha became agitated and she said, wa alaykum al-laqna, may curse be on you, may unpleasantness, may woe be, may misery. Aisha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Aisha, contain yourself, limit yourself, only be of Allah, but just look at how blasphemous. Look at how vituperative. Look at how provocative. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Aisha, but within the limits of respect, I said the same to you. Within the limits of respect. Within the limits of respect. Within the parameters of dignity. I didn't trespass those parameters. So that's the second verse. Respond to evil in a dignified way. The third verse in the 24th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. That evil and vice is not the same. اِبْتَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Respond in a good way. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. You will realize your arch enemy will become your best friend. Now, Ibn Kathir says, when you look at these three ayah, then you will find after each advice, Allah says, and if the devil interferes with you, and if the devil injects you, and if the devil whispers to you, and if the devil indoctrinates you, then ask Allah protection. So he says, what do we learn from this? We learn loudly and clearly that to cause division in the ummah is the work of the devil. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. You're not teaching your wife a lesson, she's not teaching you a lesson, but the devil is teaching both of you a lesson. Who's clapping hands? The narration of Muslim Sharif, the Prophet ﷺ said that the devil gathers all his cronies. What did you do today? I made a man roam his gaze. What did you do? I made a man speak a lie. What did you do? I made a man abandon prayer. Okay, you've achieved something, you've achieved. What about you? I have got between husband and wife and I have successfully separated them. The devil stands up and he embraces them. And he says, today you have achieved the greatest thing. There is a narration, Bazaar makes mention of it. Raja bin Rabi'ah says, I was sitting in the sacred masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this gathering was Abu Sa'id radiyallahu anhu and Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiyallahu anhu. فَمَرَّ الْحَسَنِ. The grandson of Muhammad Hassan, Hassan radiallahu anhu, passed by and he said, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. So we all said, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We reciprocated his greetings. He moved on thereafter with a very faint voice, a very weak voice. Amr ibn As looked at him and he said, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Then he looked at us and he said, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَحَبِّ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ. Should I not tell you of that person who inhabits the earth but is most beloved to Allah on the entire earth? We said, please tell us. He said, the very man that has walked by Allah, he is the most beloved to Allah from all the occupants of this earth. وَاللَّهِ مَا كَلَّمَنِي كَلِمَةً وَلَا كَلَّمْتُهُ كَلِمَةً مُنْدُ لَيَالِي سِتِّينَ. However, myself and him had some differences, and it's been a long time, myself and him have not shared any words. We've not had any dialogue. وَوَاللَّهِ لَأَنْ يَرْضَ عَنِّي. If somebody could come to my rescue and facilitate this reconciliation and unite me up with this great man, Hassan radiallahu anhu, for me that would be greater than owning gold and silver and the assets of this world. Now look at the beauty of Sahaba. Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu said, أَلَا مَنْ تَلِقْ فَنَعْتَذِرْ. If you really want to reconcile, let's get up and go. Today a person says, you know, I'm not speaking, and I'm a sound a word of caution here. I don't have time to expound on this here. There are three debates you don't ever want to embroil yourself into. The difference is between your parents. One side is paradise, one side is the door of paradise. Serving your mom is paradise, serving your dad is the door of paradise. Can you imagine the sensitivity with which you're going to tread? How dare you say, mom, you're wrong, dad, you're out. Because either way you need to realize that you need somebody else who's neutral and impartial. The second is the differences between the scholars and the ulama. This is something that stays within their fraternity. How dare I sit and pronounce my opinion, someone who imbibes in his bosom the sacred sciences of Quran and Sunnah, and I want to go insane to myself. And the third, oh boy, may Allah protect and forbid that ever we open our tongue and speak negative against any Sahabi, may Allah protect us. So Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu said, why not let's go right away? This was the beauty and that's my message. Do it now, do it today. Do it now, do it today. In English they say, a gift at the right time doubles its value. If you gave someone a gift at the right time, you got double merit for it. Tawbah is great and tawbah immediately is greater.
He didn't say, brother, you want to fetch up? Why don't you now, inshallah, when I go for Hajj, I'll apologize to him. No, inshallah, you know, one day I will certainly. No. So they go to the house. So Abu Sa'id Khudri, just to expedite, Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu says, oh Hassan, can we enter? Who are you, Abu Sa'id? Oh, please come in, please come in. I also have adjusted the door, can I usher him in? Who is that? This is Amr ibn Aas.
Okay. Alright, let him come in.
Now there's been this cold moment. There's been this dull. There's been this long period. You know when things are a bit unpleasant and you meet the man, you're looking for a pillar. You're looking for support. You're looking for a shield. You're looking for somewhere to find amnesty. But this was Sahaba, their heart. I often say the Sahaba were more united in their difference of opinion than we are in the unity of opinion. We don't have that spirit in unity. We have a common view, but our hearts are more divided. They had a different view, but their hearts were more united. And this is just not a thumb cut, and it's not a shot in the dark. I can substantiate it, and as they put flesh on the theory. Anyway, they walk in. He sits down. Now how do you start the relation? What do you say? It's a cold moment. So Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu looked at Amr ibn Aas. He said, حَدِّثْنَا بِالَّذِي حَدَّثْتَنَا حَيْثُ مَرَّ الْحَسَنُ. Why don't you tell us what you told us when the man walked by? So he said, yeah, I'll repeat it. Basically, I said, he's the greatest human on the earth. So Hassan radiallahu anhu modestly looked at him and he said, فَلِمَ قَاتَلْتَنَا يَوْمَ سِفِّينَ. Then you would know better in the battle of Siffin that occurred, why did you fight against my numbers? Why were you against the opposition, in the opposition against me, if you believe I'm the noblest of people? So he said, oh Hassan radiallahu anhu, allow me the opportunity just to put things into perspective. The point I'm driving here is that differences will occur. When I say patch it up, it doesn't mean we're not going to argue, but we're not going to allow it to continue. We're going to take the bold step and we're going to reconcile. He said, one day my dad had lodged a complaint to the Prophet. Now this is so soothing to my ears, and it's so tranquil to my heart, and it is so nourishing to my body to imagine. What was the complaint? The Sahaba said, Amr ibn Aas, my dad lodged a complaint to the Prophet. So what was the complaint? The complaint was, O Prophet of Allah, you need to speak to my son Amr. Why? Inna Abdullah, to Abdullah ibn Amr, Inna Abdullah yasumun nahar wa yasumun layl. He's praying too much, he's fasting too much, he needs to balance it out. Once upon a time, that was the complaint. Today he said, you need to talk to my son. He's perusing the net, he's watching porn, he's rebellious at home, he's disobedient, he's a delinquent, he's a rebel. These are the complaints. Back in the days, what was the complaint? Oh, you need to speak to my son, he's praying too much. He needs to socialize. So the Prophet said, oh Abdullah, your dad's been complaining, please you need to sit down and listen to your dad. Listen to your dad. Change the campaign of Siffin, my dad just nudged me and he said, we're moving. And the words of the Prophet of Allah said at me, listen to your dad. So I said, I'm going to take it face value and I'm going to join. But then, and that was the maturity of the youth of that time, that was a nation. He said, when I came in the campaign, Wallahi, Wallahi, ma ramaytu bi sahmin, wala taraktu lahum sayfa, wala ta'antu bi rumhin. I complied because of the request of my dad. But when I looked at the others, I realized it was the people of your caliber. I didn't release an arrow, I didn't release a spear, I didn't unsheathe my sword. I merely came and modestly stood on one side so that it's not tantamount to disobedience. When Sayyidina Hassan heard the tears welled up in his eyes and he said, I openly, unequivocally forgive you and pardon you. Subhanallah, these were the teachings. Abu Dujana was in the throes of death. Who was Abu Dujana? He was the man who had formed the human wall around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the campaign of Uhud. Somebody saying in his deathbed, he's laughing and he's joyous and he's happy and he's excited. So someone said, I mean, this is the moment to leave in the world. What's all the excitement about? He said, مَا مِنْ عَمَلِي أَوْتَقُ عِنْدِي مِنْ إِثْنَتَيْنِ. I have been investing with my Allah for my whole life and today is pay out day. Today I'm going to retire. They say, you know, you get some old people, they retire, and you get some old people, they refire. You get some old people, they retire, and some refire. meaning they're so strong and muscular. So anyway, I have two actions and I will wrap up on this note. Two actions, and I'm optimistic that Allah will forgive me for this. Number one, كنت لا أتكلم فيما لا يعنيني. I would never speak about things that did not concern me. وأما الأخرى فكان قلبي للمسلمين سليما. And the second thing is, from the day I know myself till today, my heart has never harbored unpleasantness or rancor or antagonism or malice for any person. And I'm hopeful that Allah will forgive me because of this. I am hopeful that Allah will forgive me. The verse of the Quran, استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم واعلموا أن الله يحول بين المرء وقلبه وأنه إليه تحشرون. That when Allah and His Nabi invites you, then instantly comply. Otherwise, death might come between you and the execution of your virtue. Or deprivation of ability. So now you say, Ya Allah, I'm not speaking to this man. I'm making a mental note. I want to do it. Then you say, okay, now my leave it. Ramadan is coming. The Quran says, no, no, no. Perhaps between now and Ramadan, either your mind will change or life won't support you or him. We ask the Almighty to inspire and instill and infuse within us the spirit of forgiveness and tolerance. It is better to forgive and to forget than to remember and hate. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والجنة للموحدين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. والصلاة والسلام الأكملان الأتمان على الركن الأعظم أفضل من تقدم ومن تأخر وعلى آله وأصحابه الغر الميامين. يا رب اللهم ارحم ضعفاءنا ويسر أمورنا واختم بالباقيات الصالحات أعمالنا. ربي عجز الطبيب فداونا وفسد الزمان فنجنا وضعفت حيلتنا فقونا. إلهي حملت نوحا على ذات ألواح وجسر يا ذا العزة والجبروت وردت لي يعقوب بصره بعدما ابيضت عيناه يا ذا الملك والملكوت وجمعت بينه وبين ابنه يوسف قبل أن يموت ونجيت موسى في التابوت وحملت يونس في بطن الحوت ونجيت الحبيب محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بخيوط العنكبوت. سبحانك سبحانك أنت الحي الذي لا يموت. أما بعد فيا أيها الناس توبوا قبل أن تموتوا وبادروا بالأعمال الصالحة وصلوا الذي بينكم وبين ربكم بكثرة ذكركم له وكثرة الصدقة بالسر والعلانية توجروا وتحمدوا وترزقوا. واعلموا أن الله قد فرض عليكم الجمعة مكتوبة في مقامي هذا في شهري هذا في عامي هذا إلى يوم القيامة من وجد إليه سبيلا. فمن تركها في حياتي أو بعدي جحودا بها واستخفافا بها فلا جمع الله شمله ولا بارك له في أمره. ألا ولا صلاة له، ألا ولا صوم له، ألا ولا زكاة له، ألا ولا حج له، ألا ولا بر له حتى يتوب. فإن تاب تاب الله عليه. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.
For more lectures visit slhub.com.